North Rock Podcast.
Well, hi, how you doing? You guys remember me? I've been here before. my name's John Horner. I am the Echo Director until tomorrow, which is their official last day. I was the youth pastor here for 5.5 years, and oh, my family's here. Hi, guys. No, I won't have them stand up. I don't know why I would do that. So my wife and I are planning a church in Erie, Colorado that launches September 14th. That's why I haven't been around, is because we're working hard on that. All kinds of good stuff is happening. And this is our mother church. We're coming out of here with North Rock's blessing and some people from here, and just an awesome place that we're taking the heart and the DNA and planting it up in Erie as far and some other stuff that God's put in our hearts, and just love it. Love it, love it. So, that's who I am. You guys are like, who cares? Whatever. Do what you're going to do. What we're doing is, if Amy and Tyler will come up, the ELN program can be run as 1 year or 2 years, and when there's 2 years, we like to celebrate that these guys have taken 2 years out of their lives. Give it up for these guys. As I was thinking about what to say, I really just thought that I'm really proud of these guys. There's so many young people that honestly just think they're awesome. You guys ever met like young people who just think they're awesome, think they know everything? It takes a lot to humble yourself and say, you know what, I want to submit myself to a discipleship program and learn. And that's what these guys have done. And so often we can just imagine these great things that we want to do. We can be an artist up here, but you need some tools as a craftsman to see that come out and happen. And these guys have really worked hard to master some tools over the last couple of years. They've worked hard in the areas of relationships, friendships, how to relate to authority, how to relate to peers, right? You guys have struggled through that and done the hard work.
Not at all.
Not at all.
No way.
So I love that. That they've just done the hard work in those areas that they're going to see a lifetime of results from. That they're going to see a lifetime of healthier relationships and an understanding of God that's deepened and just amazing. So I'm just really proud that these guys made that decision, because they could have done a million other things, but they chose first to give these 2 years to God, and I just love it. So I'm going to give them a chance to say a couple of things before we present them with their certificates of completion for Echo and pray over them. So.
Hello, I'm Amy. Past 2 years, there's a lot that I could say, but the main thing is the first year was kind of mainly just focusing on kind of getting closer with God and spending time alone with Him. And then the second year is branching out and seeing where you fit in. And I fit in admin very well. Very, very well. And also just kind of speaking with J-12 kids and just in that area. So I really enjoy those kids. I learned really how to be who God created me to be, which is giggly and fun and serious at points too. So
just, most people probably don't even know what ELN or Echo is. It's a 2-year discipleship program where we are full-time here at the church. We live with a host family, not allowed to have a job, and you're plugged into youth group, children's ministry, worship, and it's just a time where we focus on Jesus. The first year is just 10 months on you and your relationship with Him. The second year is developing yourself as a leader and developing yourself in different areas like children's ministry or worship. So plugging you into one unique ministry. I was kind of worship, Amy was children's ministry. But just the main thing that I'm going to take away from this 2 years is amazing people that love Jesus in this church. I wouldn't be able to get through these 2 years if it wasn't for you guys. The people that I've met, the relationships that I've built are forever, especially with the girls in the Echo with me. The relationships that we have are unlike anybody else I've had with. You spend every day with these people. You have things that are annoying and things that I want to get away from. There's things that I'm always going to remember and I'm always going to love, even though I might not see any of them after tomorrow ever again. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I know where God's going to take us. But another thing, I guess there's two things. I have a deep understanding of who the Holy Spirit is and what he's all about, basically. So if you don't know who Jesus is and you don't understand what the Holy Spirit is, he's what gives us our power. He's who gives us wisdom to do God's work on this planet. Everything that from, I don't even know, I just went blank. Just everything. But just knowing him is going to empower you to do anything. And that's what I'm going to walk away with.
So it says June 22nd, which is tomorrow, so you're going to have to give this back. But for now, you're almost there. Tomorrow is the last day. And Amy, we want to present this to you as well. One more time, let's give it up for these guys. And then can we have family, staff, anybody who wants to come up and pray over these guys?
Well, Tyler and Amy, as we pray now, I just want to just personally say, as we've been had the privilege of having you guys in our lives over these last 2 years, that we are better people because of having you around, and it's just, we're so proud of you, as John said. Amy and I are so proud of you guys, and I just think that the rest of your lives are just going to be so enriched by God because of what he's done in your lives over these last couple of years. So we love you on behalf of this entire church. We love you, and we've seen everything you've done. There's weekends where if it wasn't for these Echo students, I don't think we could have even done our services. And so we thank you guys, and we love you so much. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for these two incredible, incredible people. Lord, we thank you for bringing them to our church. We thank you for bringing us into their lives. We thank you for what you've done in their lives over these last couple of years, God. But Lord, because you're such a God of the new, we thank you for what's new for them, God, that this begins a new chapter in their lives, Father. Behold, you're doing a new thing, God, and for both of them, it's different, Lord. You're going to take them into different walks of life and to encounter different people. And Lord, I'm so grateful that there are Amy's and Tyler's in this world, that from this day forward, Lord, the people that encounter them will truly encounter Jesus because of where they're at and what you've done in their lives. Lord, I pray for your protection on their body, soul, mind, spirit, Lord. I pray that as they walk out the rest of their days, that they would truly know what it means to love you and to love others as they love themselves, God. Lord, we thank you once again for what you have done, what you're going to continue to do. And God, we just speak a blessing over them right now. In the name of Jesus, we speak life. We speak goodness. Lord, as it says in Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy will follow them all of the rest of their days. And we plead that in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, let's give it up for them one more time. Can I just say something about the Horners real quick? John mentioned it, but you know, they say at every pastor's conference you ever go to, they say if you're going to plant churches, if you're going to do good things, you have to be willing to let your best go. And that's, I believe, exactly what is happening with the Horner family. Gosh, I am emotional tonight. and it's even going to get worse. We feel like that, and I know Sam and Chad are here and some of the other people that have been involved in their lives for such a long time, and I want you guys to get with them, find out what's going on in Erie, and just in the next couple months, there's going to be an actual church in Erie, and it's going to be because they have been courageous and bold enough to step out and do something that is probably the scariest thing in the world, and that's to plant a church. So get to know the Horners if you don't, and just find out the ways that you can support them. A couple things before we move on, just a couple of announcements we have. There's a lot going on right now. Laundry Love is coming up this next Saturday, and the reason I'm saying this is I'd like you to join me. I'm going to be leading this next Laundry Love, and I would love for anybody that's never done it to be a part of it with me. And it's going to be from 1 to 3 o'clock. We'll meet here at the church at 12:30 this coming Saturday. And we're still a few quarters short, I'll be honest with you. We've got a good amount right now. We're still a few quarters short. So if you have some quarters or some dollars that we can turn into quarters, we know how to do that. Right outside the door here, there's a bucket. There's a little thing that says Laundry Love on it. And you can put your money in there, and it'll help us to be able to serve people in our community. We've been doing this now for 3.5 years. Every single month, one Saturday a month, we go and we just put quarters in for people who have, I mean, some of these people come in and they just thank God that we're there, because they wouldn't be able to do their laundry that month if it wasn't for us. So join me in that. And one other thing is tomorrow, and you've heard us talking about this the last few weeks, but tomorrow our team, our latest mission team to Honduras leaves tomorrow night to go to Honduras, to the country that we are connected with, to the churches that we're connected with there. Is there anyone that's here tonight that you're going on that team? If you are, just stand up. We want to pray for you here quickly. I think most of them are going to be here in the morning. I don't know why Tyler's not standing. Tiffany's back there too. Tiffany and Tyler, they're two people that are on the team. So stay standing. We want to pray for you guys, and we want to pray for your team. If you didn't get one of these handouts coming in, make sure you get one on the way out. It's got a picture of the team that's going this time, and I really hope that we're all going to be praying for them as they're in Honduras. So let's pray. Let me see if anything else that I need to talk about. Just praying for the health and the safety of the team, and just opening the hearts of our team, but also those that are going to be there. So let's pray for these guys. Father, we lift up Tiffany and her team as she leads another team to Honduras, another group of people that get to go and be used by you. But also a group of people that get to have their lives changed by you, God. We just thank you for the opportunity to send this team to Honduras, Lord. The blessing, Lord, of our church being able to be a part of this, but also those that are there, Lord, how blessed they are to have this team come and be with them. So, God, just have your way. We do ask for protection, your safety, Lord, over this team. Lord, I pray you'd continue to supply all of the needs that they have, God, to go and to eat while they're there, and to accomplish the mission of why they're going. So, Lord, we just speak a blessing over them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, it doesn't really seem right to do this after we're honoring these people and celebrating the Echo students, but there's never a better or worse time. I want to share with you just for a few minutes some news in my wife and I's life. Amy's here. She's down here in the front row, and many of you know us and have had a chance. We've had a chance to get to know you guys over these last 4 years, and it's been almost 4 years, really, to the date where we knew for sure that we were going to be the pastors of this church. Oh my goodness, the artwork is falling over. So 4 years later, we feel that our time has come to an end here at North Rock. And I know many of you know this already. There's many of you in this room that we would have, gosh, I look around this room and there's so many of you that I wish we could have had that one-on-one time, but just because of, just to be able to share our news and the plans that God's doing in our lives. But we, because of time, didn't have a chance to do that. So I just want to briefly just share a little bit of why this is happening in our lives and where God is leading us. And then Sam Rockwell, who's our district supervisor, he's with us all this week, and he's going to come up and give a message tonight, just to tie this all together, to encourage us. And over the next few weeks, we'll be able to unpack this a little bit more, just to share what's going on in our lives. But let me just give you some brief details. Three things. There's really three reasons why we really feel like God is calling us, that our time is done here after 4 years at North Rock. The first one is, this last fall, our church went through something that was called Kazon, if you guys remember that. Many of us went through that. And it's where you take your past experiences and you look at your core values and your spiritual gifts, and you put those all together. And what you see is God's vision for your life. And as I was going through this, it's interesting because I really just began to look at my Kazon and how so much of what I do around here, I can't tell you how much I love this church and the people of this church. Probably more than I've ever loved anything in my life, except for my wife, my family, but such a deep love for what God is doing here. But I've never fully settled into the role of a lead pastor. And I don't think this comes as a surprise to many of you that I've shared with. You're like, you know what, we're not surprised by that. Leading a church is a whole nother story from what I feel like God has for my future when it comes to ministry. And I know I'm doing a horrible job of explaining this, but it's just because it's really difficult. This is so hard for us. But as I was going through the Kazon, I realized that there's so many things that Amy and I are passionate about. We love ministry and we love people. And so much of this role as a senior pastor is you wear a lot of hats and you have to oversee a lot of different things. And oftentimes you miss out on some of the relationships that you really want to have and some of the ministry that you really want to do. So that's the first thing. And like I said, we'll explain a little bit more over the next few weeks. But the bottom line on that is we just really begin to pray if this is what we're wired for long term. And as we begin to pray that, we just felt like God says, you know what, I'm gonna just begin to speak to you in this area. And so there was a release there with that. The second thing is, I really believe that God has big plans for the future of North Rock Church. I believe that with all my heart. I just don't know if I am the person that's going to be able to take us there. And I say that with not false humility or any kind of self-pity. I just know that God does, he takes us places. And that where he has taken us over these last 4 years is a beautiful thing. And we have just loved these last 4 years with this church. And like I said, the relationships that we've built in the ministry that we've seen God do. But as I look at the future, I really believe God has even greater things that he wants to do. And I just know that someone is there, that God is preparing someone for this church. And I pray every day about this, who's going to be able to take North Rock to a place where I can't. And let me tell you something, I'm fine with that. I know that God moves in such different ways, and he is a big God, and he's a sovereign God. And I know that he's got big plans for North Rock, and I'm excited. I really am excited as I've been praying these last couple months about what is going to happen in the future with this church. I can't tell you how excited I am for you guys. Is it hard? Absolutely. It's so difficult. But I'm excited about what God is going to do. And the third thing here, this is the final one, is... And this is just being transparent with you guys. And you guys know that since I've been here, there's such a culture here of, listen, be yourself. If you ever wear a mask, you're robbing yourself and the people around you of what he wants to do. And if I could be really honest with you, I've seen the last half of this year, I've just seen warning signs in my life that I really recognize is if I keep going, then I could crash and burn. And it's just, it's feeling tired emotionally, feeling tired spiritually. You know, so much of this job, and I'm going to wrap it up with this, but so much of this job is you're preparing and dispersing. You prepare and disperse. You prepare and disperse. And you have people, you have no idea how many people on a weekly basis are, it's like, you know, with kids. I have three kids, and it's like all the time they're pulling at you, daddy, daddy, you know, and you're just constantly. And that's how it feels in ministry in this role of a senior pastor. People expect a lot of you. And I have to be honest, I've gotten to a place where I love this church and love what I'm doing here, but where I feel tired in that. And I believe that when you begin to feel tired, especially in a role like this, God gives you warning signs. And he shows you, you know what? If you keep going down that road, there's going to be some difficult things. And I don't want to be that pastor that down the road crashes and burns because I didn't know when to hold him and when to fold him, when to walk away, whatever. What was his name, that guy? Kenny Rogers. Thank you. I'd gone too long being serious, so I had to throw that in there. But I just believe Amy and I have been praying a lot lately, and we just really believe with all of our hearts that God is telling us that we need to have a season of rest. And so we don't know what our future holds. All we know is we're going to go to Oklahoma for a while, where all of Amy's family lives, and we're gonna take a sabbatical. And it's going to be as short as 3 months, but it may be way longer than that, just depending on what God has for us. And it's going to be a season where we're able to refuel and just let God bring new vision and new passion to our lives. Not that we haven't been passionate about this church. I hope that's really clear. We have put our whole hearts into this church, and we are passionate about you guys and about this church. But we also know that if I can't put my whole heart into it as far as physically, spiritually, emotionally, then I feel like I'm robbing this church, and I really want that person to come in that's able to do that. And I know that's what God has in store, and I know that he has in store for us to be able to re-energize, refuel, all of those things. And so, listen, Amy and I are so excited about what's next for us. We really are. We're excited about the future. We're excited about the future for North Rock, but it is the hardest thing we've ever had to do. So now you can clearly see why I'm not going to give a message after this, and I'm going to have Sam come up and bail me out. As he's coming up, I just want to say, I've been in this Foursquare family my whole life. Foursquare is a family of churches all around the world, and it is an amazing family of churches. I've been a part of it my whole life, and I love this family. And I love it because in times like these, we have a person like my pastor, Sam Rockwell. He's my pastor. He oversees 130 churches in the Gateway District. And as my pastor, he's been here these last 4 years as such an encouragement and such a strength. But as we go through this transition, this is the guy now that God has in place to lead us into, and he's going to explain all that, but to lead us into what's next for North Rock. So Sam, thanks for being here this weekend. I really, really appreciate it. It means a lot.
You stay right there for just a moment, and I'll let you go sit down. But you know, Pastor Jeremy, you just pastored us very well. Because you know the fact is, yeah. You know, we're not going to pray you off. We're not going to. Come on, he just doesn't want to stand here by himself.
Yes, exactly.
And I don't blame him a bit. And we're going to pray you off at another time. Yeah. But, you know, just what you talked to us about is really, you know, when you go through a transition in your life, you have to do it publicly. And it's very painful to do that. But the fact is that every single person in this room, at some level in their lives, is going through a transition right now. And so one of the things I would ask of all of you is to keep that in mind, that, you know, when you go through transitions in your life, often it's you and, you know, your spouse and your kids, and it's kind of difficult. But when you go through a transition and realize you need to make a decision, it's you take that times about 1,000. And so I want to thank you for pastoring us, because what you are doing is being true to the call that God has on your life, Jeremy. And we all believe that and understand it. That doesn't mean we always like it, but that's just tough, because we trust you and we trust what God is doing in you. And I want to be the first one to stand up and say, I truly believe that. And no one ever, including myself, has ever embodied the values of this church like you two have. And that's the truth. You two have embodied what this church is about, and you have carried that forward in a way we'll never recover from. Do you know what I mean? I mean that in a positive way. We will never recover from the way you have impacted our church. We will forever be a different kind of church because of the way you have truly, you know, I'm good at talking about stuff, not just good at doing it. You do it, and you have been in this community and laid your life down. And so we'll pray for you again and thank you again and all that, but thank you very much for doing that for us. So, you know, whenever there's a transition, you need just a little bit of time to say goodbye and to kind of process that personally, or all of us have to do that. And we leaders have to do that too. And one of my roles is, as I'm saying goodbye to my friend and my friends, Jeremy and Amy, we're also looking at, well, what's next for this congregation? And I want you to know that you are going to be in good hands. And it's not because I'm, you know, so wonderful and brilliant, although there's a couple people that think that. But yeah, there they are, too. That's it. That's the only two in the whole world. But listen, what I want you to know is that I know this church. I know the values that we have and that we share. I know that we're not just like any other church. We're a church that, as a council a number of years ago, decided we were going to stay here and we were going to give ourselves to this inner ring suburb, and we were going to be present in the lives of the people who grew up around this community. And we've done that, and we're going to keep doing that, and we're going to have a pastor who understands that. All right? So the other thing about this church is it's a plum. Now, what you have to understand in the district world is that there are churches and there are pills and there are plums. Do you understand that? Because I'm not going to explain it any more than that. If you don't get it, ask someone as you leave. But this is a plum church, and that means that pastors have a way of lining up for it and wanting to be involved. And we're going to find the very best one for you. Jeremy's going to be here for the next 3 weeks and preaching to you and sharing from his heart. I want to introduce Doug and Leslie Love. Do you guys mind just standing really quickly over there? Forgive Doug, he's a tall man. I try not to associate with tall people, and that's why I'm having him don't come up here. But Doug is executive pastor at Hope Boulder Forest Square Church and the superintendent of this area working with me. He's going to meet with the church council, and he's going to pray with them, and they're going to make lists, and they're going to talk about what we need here at this church, and he's going to help me in that pastoral church, that pastoral search. Right? Okay? All right. I want you to thank you. Let's give God praise today. You know, I was sitting there, Jeremy, and thinking, you know, we're always talking about being a mission to the world. It's hard to do that. Do you realize what we've done tonight? We've sent out a whole group of Echo students that we invested our heart and soul in. Are you keeping track of what we've done tonight? We're sending a church, a brand new church with some of our favorite, best people in the whole world across, you know, the highway there. And then we're sending a whole group out to Honduras, and now we're sending our pastor on to do what God's called him to do. Man, that's hard. That's hard to do. But that's what the kingdom of God is supposed to be about. So please be proud of yourself for being in a church that doesn't collect and collect and collect and collect, but is willing to suffer the grief and the pain of having babies. And he's going, oh yeah. See, that's hard, but has anything been more joyful? Has anything brought more happiness to you than having that little booger head? I don't think so. That doesn't mean I want to have one. I'm just saying, I know it makes you happy. Just wanted to make that real clear. I want you to look at just a couple of verses today. You want to look at a little scripture together? Are you all out there? Are you all okay? All right. I want to talk to you about the two miracles, the only two miracles in the Bible that matter. Now, I believe all the miracles in the Bible are important, and I actually believe that they all happened, but there's only two miracles in the Bible that matter in the long term. 10 million years from today, we're still going to be talking about these two miracles, because these two miracles determine our relationship with God, our relationship with the world, and our relationship with each other. So let's look at them. They begin and end the book of Luke. So look at Luke chapter 1, verse 30. The angel said to her, we always think of this as a Christmas verse, and it is, but it's more than that. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. All right, now if you've got your Bible, click over to Luke chapter 24. I know how y'all are. Luke chapter 24, verses 1, all the way to the end of the story. We started at the very first chapter. Now we're going to chapter 24. Read this one. I'll read this one to you. Now, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen. So, in good tradition, I want everybody to say, virgin womb. Everybody say, virgin womb. Now everybody say, empty tomb. Empty tomb. The virgin womb and the empty tomb are the two most important miracles in the whole Bible. And the reason is because God, the creator of the universe, decided that you were worth saving. So he was born in a virgin womb so he could live among you. God became permanently a part of the genetic material of the human race so he could save us. Wow! And in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, a human flesh-made person became forever a part of God, irrevocably, to represent me before God for all eternity. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Those are the miracles that we're still going to be talking about 10 million years from now. I know Tom will. He's still going to be coming up going, man, can you believe that? I'm saying, Tom, you got to quit saying that to me. You know what I'm talking about. He's like that. You know, some people think that Jesus just came to earth for 3 years and he died and then he went back to his office job. But you know, he became a man and he still is one. That's Bible. In fact, the Bible says that he came back in a glorified human body, the same one we're going to get. He's living in it now. He's got scars in his hands. Now, he can do stuff, walk through walls. Who knows what all he can do? It's not a physical body, but it is a physical, spiritual body that's a resurrected human body, the same kind that we're going to get. He forever became like us to save us. The whole gospel, the thing we believe, is that we are willing, like Jesus. It's not just something that we give God glory for. Oh, praise God. Praise God for the virgin womb. Oh, praise God for the empty tomb. No, it's more than that. It means that when we enter into his life, We take that mission on. Are you hearing me? And it's hard. It's hard to be in this mission because we're always giving birth to new things. We're always having to hear God say, okay, you did that. Now I want you to do this other thing. A minute. The first thing I said that I would do that you wanted me to do was hard, and now I just got started doing that. Now that's what it's like. I just got to know these people, and now we've done this, and now you want us to send them away. Yeah. Why? Because that's what Jesus did. For God so loved the world that he gave. He was born. I mean, have you ever really thought about that? The exalted Lord of the universe saying, I am going to become a part of their genetic material so I can save them. Ew. You know what I mean? Ew. I just want to fly around and be God. I'm not God and I want to fly around and be God. I've never been God and I want to fly around and be God. And what I want to say to you as a church is that you're an incarnational church. Incarnational, that's a big theological word. It has the word carne in it. It means flesh, meat. The incarnation is a theological word which means the divine and the human, the spirit and the flesh. It means that we take the Spirit of God in our lives and we take it to the street. It means that we give away part of who we are. We send away the people that we love. And our first reaction is always grief and pain because we're human beings. And let me tell you that it is appropriate to cry when you say goodbye to friends. And it's appropriate to grieve the loss of a pastor. And I want to tell you, don't just say to yourself, don't fake it. Don't say, well, it's God, it's fine. Let the next guy come. Doesn't bother me. Praise the Lord. Don't say that. Because we know you're lying. It's okay to grieve. It's okay to be a community in grief when you say goodbye. But don't lose sight of each other. And don't lose sight of the mission. And don't lose sight of why we're here in the first place. And that's to do God's bidding in the world. All right? Do you believe that? You know, in 1939, the Nazis were rolling through Eastern Europe. They'd taken over Czechoslovakia and Poland. And they rolled into a little tiny country named Denmark. And they did what they always did. Hitler said, look, we're taking over, and the first thing we want is we want all the Jews to wear the Star of David. And you know why they did that, don't you? So they could pull them out of their homes, ship them to concentration camps, sometimes summarily execute them in the streets, take all of their possessions. That's what they did to them. And the king of Denmark at the time, King Christian X, Hitler pulls in, sets up this edict, begins to persecute the Jews, and he says he's not even really the king anymore. But the historical fact is he put out his own little decree and communicated to everyone in this little country of Denmark this command. That is this. Think about this. He said, all people in Denmark will wear the Star of David. All Gentiles, all Jews. Still technically obeying Hitler. God, I love that guy. Okay, well, the Jews will wear the star, but so will everybody else. Now, I want you to think just for a moment. What would you have done if you were a Gentile? I mean, think about it just for a minute. I mean, I have to tell you, I don't know. I'm endangering my children, my home, my wife, my livelihood? I am confusing myself with the people that Hitler is murdering and executing, performing genocide on. Almost all of the Danes did precisely that. And you know what? Because of that, the persecution to the Jews in that particular pogrom was not very successful. In fact, history tells us that the Jews walked in the streets and wept because their neighbors were willing to wear the Star of David. Why do I tell that story? Because that's what God is asking this church, in maybe many, many, many smaller ways, to do. God is asking you to identify with the weak, with the poor, with the outsider, with everybody that needs you to sponsor them and stand by them and be to them who Jesus is to you. That's the calling of this church. That's why we go to Honduras. That's why we start a new church. Why would anybody do that? I don't know. But John's already made his decision, and I don't want to talk him out of it now. Why would anybody do that? Why would we keep sending people? Because that's what we do. We give ourselves away. We go through the grief because we want to see people come to Jesus Christ. Are you all with me on that? So I want you to take somebody's hand next to you, and Jeremy, come on up here. In fact, you have to come hold hands with me. No, I won't make you do that. Sit down on that other step. Because you're, stand right there, not on the same one. I don't like, it's an old tradition in our church before you came. Okay. No one ever got, it's because I'm short.
That's good.
Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for Jeremy and how he has lived this kind of life here for us and before us. Really challenged us deeply. And Lord, I think of the times in the last few years where I have sat in that chair and thought, wow, he really gets this. He really lives this. And I was moved and stirred and personally challenged. We thank you for that, Jeremy. Thank you for always being honest and just like you were tonight. And it doesn't have to be polished, but it does have to be real. We need that, Jeremy. We need leaders who are real with us. Not polished so much, but real and honest. And Lord, we thank you for Jeremy for modeling to us what we need. Sometimes we need to rest. We need to make a move so that we can be healthy. That's good. That's leading. Lord, we need to sometimes take risks in our life. Jeremy's taken care of here. He has a salary. He has a good life. But he wants to do the thing that you want him to do. He wants to be in the right place doing the right thing. And that's what we all should do. We should have the courage to make the change, even if it means we step out into the unknown. So, Lord, we're inspired. Thank you that Jeremy is still leading us, even in this change. And now, Lord, we pray, Lord, for the call of this church to be in this place like you were in our place, becoming one of us so you could save us, that you are still one of us and you are intercessing for us before the Father, even at this moment. Lord, you haven't stopped. You still do that now. And so, Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. We thank you. We don't even know who the next leader is. But Lord, we know that already you're looking over his shoulder and you're preparing him or her, Lord, for this role. That's right. That's right. And so, Lord, we thank you for that.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, boss. Do I close the service? I don't know what to do. I'm just a guest speaker, man.
Close it.
Can we give Sam thanks for being here tonight, this weekend? I really respect him. And 4 years ago, he saw this young guy who, back then, I looked like I was 21. I've aged a lot since I've been pastoring, but believed in Amy and I, and said, "I'm going to let you pastor this church that I planted 20 some years ago." And he's doing that all around our district, believing in young leaders and believing in the Horners. And I'm so grateful for that. And we are an awesome denomination because of what you're doing, Sam and Chad and the rest of you. Diana's here also tonight. So we're just so grateful for you guys. Well, we're gonna be done here. We're done tonight. Sam said, I'm gonna be here the next 3 weeks sharing my heart. It's kind of like I get my parting words, so watch out. I may say things that I'd never say if I knew I was staying. So, you know, especially that last week. You don't want to miss that one because I might say stuff and, hey, I'm out of here. So, it'll be 3 weeks of just being honest and really just saying this is what I feel like God wants to say as we leave, and just be a good time of being together. So God bless you guys. Again, out here, there's a sign up for Laundry Love if you want to sign up for that. Don't forget to put some money in there so that we can make sure and take care of people. It's gotten up to about $300 that we need almost every month to do that, and we've got a good chunk of that, but we need some more. So put it in there as you walk out. God bless you. Have a really great week, and love you all.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.